Welcome to Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana basketball news and discussion, brought to you by the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Join me live at assemblycall.com every Thursday night and immediately following every IU game for our live IU postgame show. And visit insidethehall.com for complete coverage of IU basketball and to join the discussion in the Inside the Hall premium forum.
Nothing beats game day in Bloomington, so get your Indiana football tickets now and be at family-friendly Memorial Stadium as the Hoosiers take on Eastern Illinois for the 2019 season opener on September 7th. Adult tickets are as low as $20, and as always, youth tickets are just $10. Visit IUHoosiers.com for more information.
On this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink, we're joined by one of our favorite off-season recurring guests, Brendan Quinn from The Athletic, who is here to help us continue our journey around the Big Ten, previewing Indiana's opponents. And we're talking this week about the prohibitive favorite to win the Big Ten this year, Michigan State. Cassius Winston is back. What is the next level that he can go to after what's already been three really terrific seasons? What can we expect from him as a senior? Is Tom Izzo embracing the lofty expectations for this team? What can we expect from Aaron Henry, from Josh Langford? And then we also reflect a little bit on the, you know, those still two kind of inexplicable victories that Indiana had over Michigan State last year, which is always fun to reminisce about. And by the way, we, in the middle of this conversation, we're wondering about the schedule for this year and if Indiana plays Michigan State twice. Neither one of us remembered it off the top of our head. Indiana plays Michigan State once this year at home, January 23rd. The Hoosiers do not go to Michigan State. So just to confirm that. But yeah, it's just me. Alex was not available for this recording, so just me and Brendan talking Michigan State here for about the next 25, 30 minutes. Hope you enjoy. And here it is, my conversation with Brendan Quinn. All right, and joining us this week on Podcast on the Brink, the great Brendan Quinn from The Athletic, one of our favorite recurring guests to talk about the Michigan State Spartans. Brendan, how are you doing? Thank you, as always, for taking the time to join us.
This is my off-season tradition unlike any other. Make sure that I join the pod and talk college basketball at a time of year when no one else is particularly interested in talking about college basketball. It's great.
Except people in Indiana.
No, this is true.
We'll always talk college basketball. By the way, podcast.
I was just in Newburgh.
Oh, were you?
Indiana. This past week. That's right. At the Corn Ferry Championship.
Wow.
The minor leagues of golf. Yes. Yeah. Wow. Right outside Evansville.
Very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. How was that experience?
It was different. a very interesting event to cover. That story should be up tomorrow on The Athletic, kind of a big picture magazine style piece on what is a very interesting place with interesting characters. So Victoria National, though, is one hell of a golf course. That is a piece of property.
Well, I've never been there before.
If you get to go, let me know and I will join you.
Okay, that is a deal. Hey, by the way, podcast wise is the Moving Screen podcast, is that going to be around again this season? I know I saw you're doing another one for The Athletic, I believe.
Yes, so Nick Baumgartner and I, who is newly hired, a former coworker of mine from many lifetimes ago, now a member of The Athletic family, we're going to have a podcast together that's called The Beat. It's going to be more of a storytelling podcast on college basketball and football, mainly Michigan State. We're having some guests. We're going to have some like watch along type stuff. But the good news for any basketball hoop heads out there, yes, the Moving Screen with Dylan Burkhart and I will remain untouched, still doing a Michigan State centric stuff. So be sure to check that out.
Cool. Very cool. That's, as we've said before, that's definitely one worth subscribing to, even if you're an IU fan. Definitely mm-hmm. one to subscribe to. So we talked with Dylan about Michigan, you know, kind of looked ahead at what to expect from them. So I want to focus with you on Michigan State. And I want to start with really where every conversation about Michigan State should start, and that is with Cassius Winston. He is such a rare gem in this age of college basketball, a fourth-year senior superstar. And what I want to know about him, and you know whether you have an answer to this or not, is does he have another level that he can get to? Because he's already been so good. Like, what is next for him now in his fourth year?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, we'll put it this way, if he didn't have another level, then he should have gone pro. You know, I'm not saying he would have been a first-round pick, but he probably would have been drafted somewhere in the second round. But, you know, he's got other stuff to do. And mainly, it's playing healthy. Last year, he played through a lot of knee tendonitis, and he is not exactly the fastest or most athletic guy. And the fact that he did what he did last season, Big Ten Player of the Year, the clear-cut Big Ten Player of the Year, while kind of trying to wheel around on a bum knee, pretty damn impressive. So they basically put him on the shelf for 6 weeks this off season. Did a very minor procedure. It wasn't surgery. They just kind of got in there. Basically, I think gave him an injection. And last time I talked to Tom Izzo, which would have been probably about a month ago, he said that Winston is 200% better in the way that he's moving around. So that's a big check mark. And but in terms of on the floor, he needs to cut down his turnovers. You know, for a guy who's as good as he is, he has a tendency to sometimes get a little fast and loose with the ball, make some inexplicable decisions. You know, he had 9 turnovers in a loss at Illinois last year. They only lost 7 games, but he averaged almost 4.5 turnovers in those 7 losses last year. So I think he can get a little tighter with the ball. And defensively, I mean, he's always been I think what you would call a poor defensive point guard. So if he can get that up to average, that would be pretty good. And I think maybe a healthy knee would aid in that growth. But yeah, he needs to be a better defender and needs to be a little bit tighter with the ball. I think he can do that. I imagine you'll probably see his scoring numbers maybe drop a little bit this year. He averaged, I think, like 19.5 in Big Ten games. I don't think he's going to need to do that. I also think there's a chance that while his numbers drop scoring-wise, he could like set records in assists.
How does Tom Izzo approach defense with Cassius Winston? I mean, we know that he's always been, you know, questionable at best defender, but he carries such a heavy load offensively and does so much for them offensively. I mean, is it where, you know, I mean, I'm sure Tom Izzo pushes him to be a better defender, but how much is he pushing him given how much of a load he carries offensively?
Yeah, I mean, he spent the first 2 years screaming at him, right? And it was all mainly about defense. And he tried to keep him off the floor as much as he could at times to get those messages across about the importance of defense. And that's why you saw Tum Tum Nairn play bulk minutes when Cassius Winston was a freshman, even though he was, you know, maybe a third of the offensive player that Winston was walking in the door cold. So, you know, he spent that time yelling at him last year. He wasn't as bad, but he kind of, it is what it is type situation with him defensively. And you try to accommodate it, you know, put him on the best opposing guard. You try to give him the best or the easiest assignments because, you know, you need him going full bore on the other end of the court, especially in the second half of games where, you know, if it's tight, you're pretty much going to want the ball in his hands 85% of the times, and you're going to run stuff, you know, with him as your primary scorer, not just a facilitator. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's you roll with what you have at this point with when it comes to his defense.
How is Tom Izzo approaching this team? Is he embracing the national title expectations and kind of being a national favorite? Is he kind of all in with that?
Yeah. He says, I think we have a legitimate chance. That's what he's kind of the way he's framing it. And when we spoke, he rattled off the previous years that he thought in the preseason that he had legitimate title contenders. Those were 2000, 2005, 2013, 2017. Now, you know, as everyone knows, he's gone to 8 Final Fours, something, right? I think that's right.
It's always good when you lose Kemp. You know,
yeah, exactly. So he can take teams that he might not even have expected of being a Final Four possibility and take them to the Final Four. But there's a difference between a Final Four contender and a national champion. And this team is very well built, I think, in the modern picture of what teams win national championships. Because for all the one-and-done stuff, well, you look at some of the great recent teams, Villanova 2016 and 2018, North Carolina 2017, Virginia last year, right? Experienced, returning guys, lots of depth. You know, those teams are the ones that actually win the whole thing. And the other team, you know, the Dukes and the whoever and the Kentuckys might get all the attention, but those are the teams that actually cut down nets in April. So that's the makeup of this Michigan team. It is the best point guard in the country who's a senior, bookended by experienced returnees, another senior guard who with a ton of experience in Josh Langford, legitimate pro prospects in Aaron Henry, Xavier Tillman. I don't think they're hiding from what the season could and maybe even should be.
You mentioned Josh Langford. What are the expectations for him? I asked Alex what questions he wanted me to ask you, and that was the first one that he said. He said, it seems like, you know, some of the preseason buzz has him as a top player in the league. He's not sure he really buys that. What do you expect from Josh Langford coming back from the injury?
Well, I mean, last year he had the preseason buzz of being a top player in the year in the league, and rightfully so. I don't think it panned out. I think he was okay for the first half of last year before he got injured. But I thought that there was maybe the possibility of first team All Big Ten, potential All American, probably his last year in college. You know, this is a guy, Langford was a McDonald's All American, five star, the whole deal, expected to be a superstar. And that was supposed to happen last year. It was not trending that way. He had some really nice performances, but it wasn't, it was far from being a dominant showing. His game just had not matured in certain ways that you would hope for. Now, coming into this year, there's two big questions. It's, will he be 100%? And if so, when? I'd be a little bit surprised if by this season opener against Kentucky at Madison Square Garden, if he is full go in the starting lineup. I'm not saying he's not a starter, but I'm saying like at 100%, the guy who you might expect him to be. I would imagine, and Tom Izzo indicated this as well, that it could be a situation where, like, into December is when he's really kind of knocks the rust off and is himself, so to speak. So, it might take a second. And so however that plays out, who knows? That's a total guessing game. But once he is healthy and once he is the primary two, what type of player is he, right? I don't think he can be your volume scorer, volume shooter on this team. He can be a guy who certainly scores double digits and is a major piece and has his nights where he's, the guy getting primary looks. But, like, you don't need Josh Langford taking 15, 16 shots a game. And you especially don't need Josh Langford taking those step-in long twos that are kind of just been his thing. And we've talked about it ad nauseum on our podcast. He's always just been some efficiency issues in his shot selection. And with the extended 3-point line, it's going to be a big question of if that's helps or hurts in that shot selection. He's taken just a ton of 16, 17, 18, 19 foot shots that are just, they're just not quality looks. So, when he's back, does the time away influence the way that he thinks about the game, the way he thinks about half court offense, the way he thinks about what's a good shot in transition? He's a guy who will take up a long two on a 2-on-1 break, on a step in, stepping across the 3-point line where you're just like, you're shrugging your shoulders and saying, I just don't get that. So, what is he like as a basketball player when he gets back is huge. And, it very well could be one of like the three questions that determine whether this is a team that fulfills, the loftiest of goals.
Another big question that seems like, will help determine that is how Aaron Henry progresses. And he's a guy that Indiana fans are always very intrigued by because he's from Indianapolis. And, you know, you sometimes see guys like Henry, freshmen, who really come on strong at the end of the year, and there's all kinds of breakout buzz for them as sophomores. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they can kind of go in one of two ways. To kind of put it in an Indiana context, it can be like an OG Anunoby, where, you know, he takes it and just, you know, continues to ascend as a sophomore. Or some guys are like Justin Smith, and they kind of struggle as a sophomore and can't quite get back to that consistency they had at the end of their freshman year. What do you anticipate from Aaron Henry this year as a sophomore?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly very high on Henry. Just love the way he plays, and he does a lot of little things. He's a great defensive wing, really good athlete, smart player. And I've always kind of felt like the guy who was seen for long swaths of the Big Ten season last year is not really the player that Aaron Henry is. He couldn't shoot for like 2.5 months, November through February. He had one double-digit performance in 29 games. Over one stretch, like a 22-game stretch, he went 2-for-15 on threes. The guy who was like basically a 40% three-point shooter at times in high school. Like, he can shoot the ball. He is an offensive player, and he got just – his head was just kind of spinning for a lot of his freshman year, and he got a lot of minutes because he can play defense and rebound and do other things, but he was a non-entity on offense. You could sag off him all you wanted, and it was a detriment, if anything. And then when he came on at the end of the year, I think you saw a lot more of what he is. He made 8 of 16 threes in the last 10 games of the year. He had a great performance against LSU in the Sweet 16. You know, he's a really good all-around ball player. There's a reason pro scouts are very interested in him. This could be, certainly if he plays the way he did in the NCAA tournament, this will be his last year in college. But there are other steps for him to take. Tom wants to be able to see him maybe get the ball and play out of an occasional ball screen and kind of give Michigan State an additional option with the ball. If he can do that stuff, you know, that would be a huge step in his development. But we'll see. Like you said, you know, it's always so easy that you take the best two performances in the last month of a year and be like, well, that guy can just replicate that as a sophomore and he'll be an All-American.
Yeah.
It's rarely that easy.
Besides Henry, and obviously a guy like Xavier Tillman, who I think we all expect a lot from, who are some other guys that are potential breakout guys this year for Michigan State?
It'll be interesting. I mean, the four position is such a huge question. They lose Kenny Goins, who was probably one of the more underappreciated players in the league, a top five rebounder in the conference, and he kind of helped evolutionize Michigan State's offense over the course of last year, really. They went from having no option in that score in that spot at the four in terms of scoring to having a pick and pop four man who was suddenly, you know, a legit threat. He was making 2 threes a game over the final 20 games of the year. And that's was one of the major reasons they kind of took off and had that run at the end of the year. So, you know, who fills that spot right now? The name that is kind of being bandied about the most is Malik Hall, who's a freshman. He's coming in from Kansas, kind of a, skilled hybrid, like 3-4 man, multi-position player. He can defend multiple positions. I think there's a chance he starts at the four. And if he does that and he plays with Tillman, who is probably the best ball screen big man in the conference, possibly the country. Well, if Hall's in there at the four, you might be able to switch 1 through 5. And any coach in the country loves to be able to do that. So can Hall shoot? We'll see. They think he can, but if he can just somehow manage to replicate a little bit of what Kenny Goins did in the offense and then give them some options and versatility defensively, he could be a name that people better learn rather quickly. Another name that will be very interesting to follow is Rocket Watts, a freshman who he's from Detroit, but he played at Spire last year. Can play the one or the two, will probably play the one or the two at different times. It'll be interesting to see if Foster Lawyer can play any real minutes as a backup one or if it just all goes to Rocket Watts. But he is a high level, high profile scorer, can shoot, is another athletic, versatile defender. Izzo loves the workouts that he's had so far this off season. So if a guy is named Rocket Watts, I don't know how he can't be pretty awesome.
It's a great name. It's a great name. So, look, it is easy to paint a picture for how Michigan State wins the Big Ten. I mean, they're as prohibitive a favorite this year, maybe as any team since the, you know, the Wisconsin Kaminsky Decker team. So that's easy. If things don't go right, if they don't win the Big Ten, and it's not because of an injury to Cassius Winston or something like that, what will be the reason why this doesn't go right?
That's a really good question. You know, if Langford is not a more well-rounded and also, you know, sidebar, healthy, underline, version of himself, you know, there could be some serious questions at the two. It's just such a key spot, and you know they are replacing a lot of 3-point shooting. Matt McQuaid, you know, people forget about Matt McQuaid. All the dude did was play pretty much lockdown defense on the perimeter and make threes. It was a really nice luxury to have him playing alongside Cassius Winston. That's gone. So, you know, what is kind of the answer there? It's easy to say Langford, and it, as someone who's been around the program for 3 years, like you kind of hope it is Josh Langford, because he's kind of the epitome of a good college player. He's a good guy. He kind of deserves to get, I think, his moment. So we'll see there. But in terms of the season going sideways, yeah, the two position could create some issues. The four position could also create issues. There's I just talked about Malik Hall. Well, that's a freshman, you know, and you know, what kind of sophomore jump does an Aaron Henry make? Can he be, you know, that guy? Does Gabe Brown develop as a sophomore? Does Marcus Bingham develop as a sophomore? You don't know. Michigan State's returnees combined for 33% 3-point shooting last year, and a lot of turnovers. So those are two losing stats, bad 3-point shooting and turnovers. If those are things that bleed into this year, it could be the thing that Tom Izzo's pounding his head against the wall over. And then obviously, you know, all it takes is one day in March. This program knows that, right? Middle Tennessee State, Syracuse. Those are rather fresh memories in East Lansing still.
All right, Brennan, I know you need to go. So last question for you. You mentioned earlier Michigan State lost 7 times last year. 2 of those were to Indiana. Have you wrapped your mind around how those 2 losses happened? And how often are you going to remind Dylan this year that he picked Indiana to win the Big Ten last year?
I mean, I'm going to be reminding him of that like 10 years from now. Yeah, that was a strong opinion.
Hopefully 10 years from now, it looks like he was just a year or two, you know, early, which, you know, time will tell.
But, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. But it is crazy. I remember that game at Assembly Hall. It was a tight game. I think it was in the low 60s.
Yeah.
And I believe that was the last game Michigan State lost until Texas Tech in the national semifinals. And that included beating Michigan twice, once in the regular season finale for the regular season championship, and in the Big Ten conference championship game, and then also a win over Duke in the Elite Eight. Like, the fact that that team lost to that Indiana team twice and once at home in overtime was just inexplicable. I mean other than guys kind of playing a little bit out of their mind, who was it at the game in East Lansing who just came? I think he like hadn't played a few games, maybe Devontae Green.
Devontae Green
played it in a number of games before that, and then came out. And
Indiana went 10 of 20 from three that game.
You know, it's just they just kind of had their number, and I don't know. Well, it would be pretty amazing if it happens again this year. No, did they play twice this year?
I think they only play once this year. Don't quote me on that, though. I'm not sure, but I think they only play once.
No, but I'm sure Izzo and Izzo and Dane Pfeiffer both had their fingers crossed
yes.
for that.
Oh man, those games last year were crazy. But we, you know, after all the misery we've had against Michigan State, I suppose we were due for a good year against them at some point.
So were those games beacons of light, or did they only make all the losing that much more frustrating when you beat a top five team in the country twice?
I think both. You know, they showed what was possible when Indiana made outside shots, which we knew was an issue all year. But, you know, then it's like the home game where Justin Smith plays great and you kind of slap your head and it's like, you know, where's that? You know, why can't mm-hmm. that happen consistently? So I think it was both. It's always fun to celebrate a victory over Michigan State. But yes, it's sure. like, well, then maybe if you just don't lose 12 out of 13, you can be a tournament team, you know? So it was, yeah. I don't
know.
But
the bizarre thing about those wins was that like Romeo was nothing. In either of them.
Well,
like he had nothing to do with either victory.
I would push back on that. He was 6 of 18 in the game at Michigan State, but he made a few huge plays late that really only he could make to score to send it to double overtime.
A lot of bad shots.
He did. No, he did, but he hit the go-ahead three, and then he had that floater that I think put it into overtime. Now, he was terrible in the home okay. game, but he did yeah. have those big moments late, you know, because they didn't have Morgan and... You know, they needed someone to just go get a bucket, and he did. He wasn't fair. Efficient, but he did have a few big plays that game.
Fair, fair.
But alas, we'll see what happens this year at Michigan State. You know, I always enjoy watching Cassius Winston play. Not so much against, you know, when you're watching him against your own team, but it'll be fun to mm-hmm. get one more go around with him because he's a wizard. Watching him in person was incredible. So
yeah, and as anyone who is, you know, college basketball centric. It's like you feel bad saying it because it's not for his own well-being, really. But it's like, you know what? Thank goodness Cassius Winston's maybe a half step slow
yeah.
and can't jump too high, you know, because I want to watch him in college basketball. Whether
yeah.
he plays for the Denver Nuggets or whoever, I don't really care.
Yeah.
So, I like one of the Nuggets I pulled up for my season preview on Michigan State that ran on The Athletic a couple weeks back was. He's the first returning AP first team All-American in college basketball since Doug McDermott at Creighton. And he's the first returning AP first team All-American guard in college basketball since J.J. Redick. So it's pretty unique. You know, everyone, there was the big hubbub when Miles Bridges came back to Michigan State. But, you know, in the end, this year, if things go the way that they could and Tom Izzo gets his second national championship, Cassius Winston going back for his senior year will end up being far, far bigger than Miles Bridges ever going back for his sophomore year.
Yeah, it will. Yes, it will. Well, Brendan, thank you so much. We always appreciate the time, always appreciate the insight, and we'll look forward to hearing more of it on the Moving Screen Pod and reading you on The Athletic this season.
Always my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks, man. Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. We always appreciate you being here. Remember to join me and my co-hosts for more IU basketball talk at assemblycall.com and visit Alex over at insidethehall.com for complete coverage of Indiana basketball. If you want to support Podcast on the Brink, here is the single best way to do it. Tell anyone you know who loves IU hoops about us and suggest that they subscribe. Podcast on the Brink can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else podcasts are available. Tell your social media followers, email your friends, text your family members. For weekly discussion about IU basketball, they need to be subscribed to Podcast on the Brink. We'll talk to you next time. Go Hoosiers.